Mid-Morning Medley, your Saturday blend of lifestyle and community.
Welcome to the Mid-Morning Medley, indeed, the voice of the Cape. We are broadcasting on those frequencies, 91.3, 90.9, 95.8, as well as 89.8 FM anywhere in the world. Don't forget to download the Voice of the Cape app via the Google Play Store, as well as the iOS platform. Now, shifting focus this morning, AI impact on mental health. Now, artificial intelligence has become part of our everyday lives, whether it's helping us write some emails, answer questions, or get to solve some problems. AI is increasingly becoming the first place that many people turn to for advice. But what happens when people begin turning to AI for emotional support, anxiety, depression, or even crisis situations? According to the South African Society of Psychiatrists, while AI has an important role in healthcare, it cannot replace the empathy, clinical judgment, and human connection that trained mental health professionals provide. Experts warn that chatbots can sometimes offer inaccurate or harmful advice, reinforce unhealthy thinking, and even fail to get to respond appropriately in crisis situations. Now, we are joined by Dr. Melanie van Zyl, who's the board member of the South African Society of Psychiatrists. Good morning, doctor. Are you good?
Good morning.
Everything fine?
Very good, thank you. Very good, thank you.
Tell me quickly, doctor, why is our people turning to AI instead of speaking to a friend, a family member, or even a mental health professional?
AI can offer things that humans can't offer us. It's immediately available. It doesn't get shocked or impatient with you. There's no need to make an appointment. It's cheaper. People feel less embarrassed to tell, you know, a machine or their phone about things that they might feel shameful about, like sexuality, addiction, those things. There's stigma involved. So AI can feel emotionally safer. You can't upset the AI. There's no fear of disappointing it or damaging this relationship, so to speak. And AI is programmed to be very responsive. It's full of attention and empathy, and it does tell you what you want to hear in a certain sense. It reinforces your thinking, and it's very pleasing. It's programmed to be like that. So it gives the sense that you are feeling heard, and that you might even be special, and this is a special relationship, and that you're being understood. But unfortunately, these models are built on language models, and it's not a real connection.
Speaking about the real connection itself, now South Africa has a shortage of mental health professionals, long waiting list, and affordability challenges. And that is where we are saying we might not be able to afford to speak to somebody. Is AI filling a genuine gap in access to care, or is it creating a false sense of support?
Yes, we've got to be careful. There is a bit of both sides to the story. We have a real treatment gap. We don't have enough mental health professionals. We don't have enough psychiatrists, psychologists, for example. About 30% of our patients won't have access to professionals. So in this environment, we do have to look at AI. It is a useful tool. It can do specific things, and we have to be clear about what those things are. So it can give some information. It can identify some symptoms. It can explain what treatment will involve. It can talk to a person's understanding and complexity. It can encourage you to seek help. It can indicate where to find help. So it's almost like a bridge and not a destination in itself. So it can help to start like a sympathetic conversation in a relatively easy and safe manner. But we've got to be aware that it's only a start, and there are limitations. The AI can miss psychosis and mania and suicide risk and important things like that.
Now, we are going to be moving on to the psychosis just a bit later on, but I just want to find out, what would you say are the appropriate ways that people can use AI to support their mental well-being, and where should the line be drawn?
So AI is more appropriate as an assistant, an educator, or a preparation tool. So people can use it to learn general information about stress, sleep, anxiety, depression, symptoms, and so forth. They can use it to prepare questions for a doctor or psychologist, can help them organize their thoughts before maybe a difficult conversation. It can give tips on basic sleep routines, self-care plans, symptom diaries, and so forth, and help people to track certain patterns that can maybe be discussed later with a clinician, and help people to locate the appropriate professional. The line should definitely be drawn when AI begins to function as the sole diagnostician or therapist or service for these mental health problems. So it should not be trusted to independently diagnose a mental disorder or to decide that medication is necessary or what, you know, is the next step. And people should also be cautious to what type of information they enter into the AI, because this information can be identifiable later on.
Now, many AI platforms are becoming more conversational, and something that you made mention of. Now, with some people developing emotional attachments to AI companions, what effect can these relationships have on someone who is already lonely and socially isolated?
Yes, so for a lonely person, this AI companion provides an immediate comfort. And so it can help them for a few minutes to feel better and maybe develop some thinking about their problem. And this is an important experience, because the emotions felt by the user is real, but the relationship is simulated. So this type of, in inverted commas, relationship with the AI, it doesn't follow the sort of the patterns of a normal relationship. So this relationship with the AI has no friction. It's super attentive and supportive and doesn't challenge you. It's accommodating. You never have to work through difficult issues in your relationship with the AI. You don't have to say you're sorry. So people don't get to practice these more difficult interactions. You don't have to learn how to tolerate feeling uncomfortable, having a difficult conversation, or even rejection. There's no space to practice these skills. So many people are at risk to develop a greater emotional dependence on AI, and this will worsen their loneliness, and they will have less real-world socialization.
Difficult conversations and those crucial conversations is indeed necessary, and something that AI cannot really assist you with, indeed. With that, let's shift some focus to children, teenagers, and AI. It's become a big problem, and sometimes we as parents ourselves are struggling to understand. Now, what should parents know about their children's use of AI? And how do parents approach conversations about mental health, relationships, and self-worth?
So parents should understand that their children are using AI, and it's not only for homework. It's they ask questions about sexuality, relationships, bullying, things like that. Children and adolescents are vulnerable because their identity and judgment and relationship skills are still developing. So they don't really have the discernment to understand that the AI doesn't really care about them. It looks like it cares. It creates that perception. So it's also not a private relationship. And this often develops in secrecy, so the parents are not aware of it. But it can put the child or the adolescent at the risk that this information that they put in is not private. So parents should educate their children and make it clear that the AI sounds very caring, but it doesn't really care about you, unfortunately. And it doesn't actually know you. So it doesn't know your context. It doesn't know, you know, your culture, your, and that AI can be confidently wrong. And that some problems should be discussed with a trusted human being. So if you have suicidal thoughts, you are in a situation of abuse or bullying, maybe strange thoughts, hallucinations even, or feeling unsafe. So these things should be discussed with a real person. Parents should also watch out, because if you, your child might not necessarily talk to you. So they are changing behavior, you know, there's more secrecy, doesn't sleep well, they're on the phone the whole time, they're beginning to do badly at school, start to withdraw and show symptoms of emotional distress.
With me online, I have Dr. Melanie van Zyl, who's the board member of the South African Society of Psychiatrists. And we are shifting our focus to artificial intelligence. It has become a big part of our everyday lives, whether it's helping us write some emails, answer some questions, or get to solve some of our problems. But AI is increasingly becoming the first place that many people get to turn to for advice. But what happens when people begin turning to AI for emotional support, anxiety, depression, bullying, or even crisis situations? Now, according to the South African Society of Psychiatrists, while AI has an important role in healthcare, it cannot get to replace the empathy, clinical judgment, and human connection that trained mental health professionals provide. Now, experts warn that chatbots can sometimes offer inaccurate or harmful advice, reinforcing unhealthy thinking, and even fail to respond appropriately in crisis situations. Doctor, shifting focus, and speak to me about AI-induced psychosis and the psychological harm.
Yeah, so AI is very pleasing. It wants to please you, and it will therefore use its machine learning to almost encourage whatever you are asking about. So AI can't discern necessarily what is real and not real, and where, you know, subtle signs of psychosis begin to become apparent. You know, this is what trained mental health professionals, and we look at more than just what people are typing. You know, we look at the behavior as well, because if something like psychosis is starting to develop, patients often can see in their behavior, you know, they're suspicious, or the way that they talk, they are not really engaging, or the emotional affect is flat. So there are other signs that we will pick up, and the AI won't pick this up. It might get excited about the things that you are asking, and it will connect it to other similar delusional concepts, you know, that is in its database or that it connects to. It makes links with similar scenarios without having the discernment whether this is real and not real, and whether this is potentially dangerous even.
Have you had any patients coming to you with the AI situation where you can obviously, I mean, you're a doctor, so you would know exactly if somebody was speaking to the chatbot and getting some information from you as a doctor?
Yeah, so, I mean, people used to use Google a lot. They still do that, and now they do AI as well. You know, speaking for myself, I don't really mind that so much. Because I often have a very good conversation then with the patient, you know, so they will say, AI says, you know, this might also be wrong with me, or this medication causes these side effects, and it often creates a nice conversation. So I don't feel threatened by it, or, you know, for me, it's a problem if the patient comes and they say, AI says, I have this and this condition, and I must use this and this medication. So you must prescribe this to me. So there I have a problem. But if it stimulates the conversation, I'm quite keen for that. And then you can usually show the patients, if you don't agree with what they're saying, where it sort of went off track. So you can show them, you know, the way that they asked the question and the way that AI wants to please you, that is the, you know, that is where things went a bit astray.
Coming back to children, teenagers and AI, have you had any parents coming for assistance and asking those relevant questions?
I don't see many children myself currently, but it is it's definitely a problem. I have my own children, and they even use AI to correct me sometimes these days. So they seem to accept the AI as an authority, even higher than I am for them. You know, so this is what's happening in my house. So I would assume, yeah, it's quite a big problem. Children and adolescents are definitely using AI. And like I say, even children as young as 10, 9 use it. And it's supposed to be age restricted. They're not really supposed to using AI.
But they
do it and they believe it.
Okay, with that, Doc, we've already seen that the impact on social media has had on anxiety, loneliness, as well as a person's self-esteem. Is AI simply the next evolution of that? And could it deepen our dependence on technology for emotional validation?
Yes, so the difference between AI and social media is that social media gives you an audience. Engaging on social media gives you people that like you and accept you and so forth. But with AI, it's individualized and it's almost like personal. So it validates you on a personal level. It's like you are right. You are, you know, valid. You are, you know, so it talks to you specifically, which in a sense make it even more dangerous. So this validation is not the same as, you know, good psychological treatment. It can even be quite severely damaging if you validate something that shouldn't be validated and you reinforce patterns of thought that's already not very healthy. It's more, AI should be seen as a thinking aid. So you can ask yourself, is AI helping me to speak more clearly to people, or is it actually helping me to avoid people? Am I looking for reassurance on AI instead of speaking to real people?
If more people begin replacing human connection with AI support, what are the long-term implications for our mental health, our relationships, and society as a whole?
So on an individual level, interacting with AI is very seamless and easy and pleasing, and that is not how real relationships work. So on an individual level, people will get a reduced tolerance for the sort of the normal frustrations of a relationship. So people don't practice listening, negotiating, apologizing, waiting, all these things that come with normal, real relationships. And on a relationship level, AI becomes almost like a third party in the relationship. So it listens to your side of the story and takes your side. And it's like a third party in the relationship. And at the society level, it brings larger problems such as loneliness can almost become commercialized. This is still a business and it thrives the more and more emotionally vulnerable people spend their time with it. So it can exaggerate our mental health crisis because people will become more lonely and more depressed and even more suicidal. So these are the dangers on these levels.
Staying with the dangers, advice that you'd give to our listeners, especially those ones that just always pose that questions to AI?
It is a tool, so see it as such. Try to think objectively, you know, is this sound advice? Is this practical advice? The advice that AI is best for is quite simple advice regarding like sleep and stress management and those type of things. And bear in mind that your AI can be wrong. It can totally miss what's going on with you. And that whatever you put into the AI might not be private. That information might become identifiable later on. So bear all these things in mind and sooner than later, you know, get yourself to a real person that can assist you, especially if it's something serious.
Doc, for those listeners that are currently listening and might be having similar issues in their household, whether it be relationships, whether it be their children, whether it be just seeking advice, just for the mere fact that we still need to speak to those professionals and we still need to have the conversations. Is there any social media handles? Is there any contact numbers that you'd like to share with our listeners?
The big one we always share is SADAG, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. They have a very comprehensive website and helplines and so forth. So I would recommend them. In all communities, there are people that can help. So don't forget, you know, your own community, you know, people at your work, people at your church, on community level, that can also help.
Any last words from your side?
AI is very exciting. We are not against it in principle at all. We use it more and more. It helps us also for admin burden and report writing and things like that. So if used correctly, it helps doctors and psychologists. It helps us with our workload so we can apply ourselves better for our patients. Mm. But bear in mind all these cautions. It's still a machine. It's not a human. So even a real person at community level has a much bigger role for you to play, that potentially, you know, in a interpersonal, emotional type of setting than technology such as AI.
Mm. Dr. Melanie van Zyl, it was great speaking to you. Thank you for firstly educating me and obviously our listener. Your knowledge, clarity and willingness to share your expertise made a complex topic so easy to understand. We truly appreciate your time and your effort. You go well and have a beautiful Saturday further.
Thank you very much. You too.
And that was Dr. Melanie van Zyl, who's the board member of the South African Society of Psychiatrists. If you would like to get some more information, please head down to the social media pages of SADAG, and that is SADAG.
Med Morning Medley, your Saturday blend of lifestyle and community.